कैसे कैसे जगा जी लगाने की दुनिया नहीं है, ये व्रत की जा है।
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Once again, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum to this edition of the Coffee Express, coming to you live and exclusively from the studios of Marcus Sahaba online, Sawtu Ahli Sunnah wal Jamaah, the voice of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah in Durban, South Africa, on this day, the 8th of Rabi'ul Akhir, 1446. Alhamdulillah, in the first hour, we were discussing Palestine, and of course, when you discuss Palestine, you have to discuss the Jews. We are discussing the attitude of the Jews towards divine revelation. And now, inshallah, we will be crossing over to Brother Ahmad Parak, who is a local counselor, to have a discussion about the latest developments regarding the water crisis in the city of Durban. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Brother Ahmad Parak.
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Adan asalam to all our radio listeners. Alhamdulillah, Mulana. Today we have a beautiful Allah. Bless us with another fine day, Mulana.
Before we get on to our topic of discussion, which is the water crisis, is there any new developments with the kafan and dafan, issues?
Mawlana, alhamdulillah, everything is under control. I think what we will do is maybe we'll delegate maybe down the line in the next couple of weeks, maybe one Saturday only deal with our coffin and dafan matters, because I'm compiling a few things as well. And then, inshallah, from there we will take it, inshallah, Mawlana.
Okay. Now, coming to the water issue, it has come to light that the situation in Lamonville is quite critical. And what is coming up all the time in whatever articles we read and interviews, that it seems it's the due to the negligence of the municipality and not Amgeni Water or other water providers, that we are in this situation. And Lamonville is one of the places that was quoted to highlight that it is the municipality and not the water providers that have brought about the situation. Could you comment on this?
Yes, Mulana. I did comment last week that we will be having a guest from the Water and Sanitation Department. Unfortunately, they are all engaged. They had a very good personal friend of mine from Water and Sanitation who was supposed to be on our show this morning. But unfortunately, because of the mayor has called up an urgent meeting, especially for the water, and they are working 24/7 with this, and even night shift, they're burning midnight oils just to get this water issue under control. Jay Molana, the issue in Lamonville and a lot of other areas, Lamonville is one of them. The problem is, as you know, we are going now into the water issues that we have been brought up on the 10th of October. Now, to alleviate our problem, there's about three folds of the issue. I'm in council from 2021. 1st of November will be 3 years, inshallah, alhamdulillah, Allah blessed me to be there. I'll be 1st of November, 3 years with the council. In my 3 years, we've been always talking about water losses. And when I was there in 21, we were at that stage, we were at 40% of water losses. Today, we're sitting on 54% water loss. So one, we got water loss. Two, we cannot get enough water from Amgeni into our system. That's the other problem. And thirdly, if they go and close up, you see, there's a misunderstanding in the community that on the 10th of October, we want to start like what we were doing with load sharing. They're going to do it like that. They can't do it like that because it will affect the entire system and it will cost us more. Because once we start closing, opening and closing valves, and these are old pipes, it is going to be because of non-maintenance. These pipes got hairline cracks, and then they will burst new leaks, as you will see in roads. Today, they fix one leak here. In not even a day or 2 days, you're finding it in the same road down the line, maybe 100 meters, 200 meters, they're coming and digging up again to patch it, and they're going. So there's issues first for non-compliance in terms of maintenance, which was not done for the many, many years. That's one. The second issue is the controls that they have. I'm getting water put in terms of our license. We cannot take so much of water. And thirdly is the artisans and the engineers, that we haven't got skilled people to sort all our water issues. Lamontville is one of them, that because of the infrastructure is completely broken. It is dead and buried. They're starting from one side to start getting water for the people in Lamontville. And also, there's an informal settlement there. And I did an inspection with our team from MPAC. And we went and saw there was so much of water and clean drinking water was lost. So we even took pictures of that, and we're having a meeting on the 16th. That's one of the things that we want to be bringing up. So to curtail all these issues, we now have now one thing for sure, Molana, whatever people can say, the mayor that has come in now is 101% better than what we had, who is approachable, who you can talk to, who has got a plan and is putting a plan together. And that is very, very important. Things are starting to look, is taking shape. But if you want to say in the next 2 years, this whole water crisis is going to be sorted out, it's not going to be sorted out. And, you know, some ratepayers are threatening to take to court. Yes, they're entitled. We don't have a problem with that. They're entitled. I would do the same thing too. When you're paying for something and you're not getting delivery, why should you be paying? Yes, the system has been broken completely. So there's a problem. They, you know, even if you to go to court, they will put court papers. They'll give you affidavit to say, you know what, this is the steps that we are taking and to rectify the problem. So you know what, they'll have to give them time. So you know, you're going to throw away good money, and that's what I'm saying. So you know, the long and the short is, problem will be there. It's not going to be, they're going to cut you off completely. What they're going to do, from the reservoir coming into our system, 8.4% will be reduced. And how we want to sort this out here, Malana? Number one, they're going to be installation of restrictors in every meter. Number two, the pressure will be reduced from the network. Improved turnaround time in repairing leaks and pipe bursts throughout deployment of ward-based plumbers. So in other words, you in Overport, that is Ward 29 and 31, there will be plumbers based there to look after that. So right through in all 111 wards, there will be plumbers there assigned to sort these things out. And that way, we'll be able to identify where the problems are, and we want to get reports from every ward, and then we will start. Then we will say, okay, the major problem is in the Overport area. Then they'll say, okay, fine. They'll start digging from one side, lay new pipes, and by the time they come 2026, 2025, they got that one area like what they did in Carverstown. They sorted that system out there. They put new pipes there. There is more still to go. And that's the only way this whole system is going to come. And then obviously the community has to play the game in terms of reducing the water consumption. That's what we have to do. Now, we as Muslims, we need more water more than electricity, because for Paksaf and everything, we need water and all that. And my personal plea to the community is, if you can afford, put a borehole, but don't put a borehole before you even have test. Just don't bring the guys here. You're thinking there will be water here. There's a lot of fly-by-night guys too. They come into the borehole business. They say, no, we got water here. Let's dig here. By the time you finish, your whole yard is dug up. There's no water. There's special qualified people who will come and test, and they will do a complete geotech, and they will tell you exactly what consumption of water you even can pick up from 1, 2, 3 places and all that. That's how you have to do it. So this is where we are at the moment, Bolara.
One of the things you mentioned is the reason why this whole process is going to be delayed is a lack of qualified engineers. Now, is this lack because they don't exist or because they don't want to employ? The reason why I'm asking this question is, even in the health sector, they say that they are lacking workers and they're bringing staff from Cuba and wherever, but there are South African doctors that are looking for work.
Well, Anna, what happened was our top engineers and top engineers, top plumbers who knew the system, they have gone for greener pastures because things are looking very bleak in our country. That's why. Now, you need good qualified artisans who know what they are doing. They must follow their plan. And once you follow their plan, you can fix it up. Coming to the Cuban doctors that are in a country, there are tons of our local doctors coming from our Nelson Mandela University, Wits University. We got top universities in the country, and even better than some of the other universities in the world. Now, we're supposed to be giving our locals work, and what happens is they get shortchanged because of the system, that because we had an agreement with Cuba and we had to take in so many people. That's what happened here, and so our doctors got left. Now, our top doctors that qualified, who had good marks and everything, and now they're going away to the UK, they're going away. In fact, if you go to Ireland at the moment, even if you are an engineer, an artisan, you got degrees in one of your mechanical engineer, electrical engineer, they take you with two hands. Plus, they even put you up there. Everything they give you. So that's how the shortage of skilled people is in the world. They're taking away all our top skilled people from South Africa.
I'm saying regarding a person having a borehole on his property. Now, I'm not sure about this, but I remember hearing or mishearing when one masjid wanted to do this, have a borehole for wudu facilities and toilet facilities. They said that there is some kind of levy that they have to pay to the municipality to have a borehole. Now, could you just clarify that if a person has a borehole on his property, is there any kind of levy that he has to pay?
Monana, the issue when it comes to borehole is very, very simple. When you put a borehole, obviously, whoever the contractor is, they will do an proper application. Secondly, when you put up a borehole, you must put a separate meter as well, because that water underground does not belong to you. It belongs to the state. Everything underneath the surface, they say it belongs to the state. So there is a special levy. But because of this crisis of this water issue, we are implemented. So the city and the province government, national governments, is not putting any pressure or anything, because end of the day, they say the people are going and doing their making sure that there's enough water to sustain and a lot of borehole water that is being given to the communities and all that. So that's where we are. So there is the rule is there that whenever you put a borehole, you must have a meter, and that meter must be linked to the council to say that how much borehole. There's a special levy that you have to pay, but for now there's no restriction or anything like that because of the shortage of the water, and that's the reason they have relaxed it at the moment.
Okay, now coming to the Springfield wastewater treatment work. We know that in 2022, we were hit by floods, and due to this, that place became dysfunctional. What's the current status of the water treatment plant at Springfield?
Ji Maulana, last week we discussed this. Yeah. When we did an inspection on local at the Springfield water treatment, the contractors are on site. 500 million rand contract has been given over a 3-year period, which we lost the water treatment. 2022 floods has brought it to ground zero. So they had to refix the entire plant. So from 70 million liters a day, we were losing from 22 from the day of the flood. Only in February this year, the contractor went on site, and from 70 million liters, we have now brought it up to 21 million liters per day. He's been getting the water treatment is working, and by December, they're saying it'll come up to 30,000 million liters a day. So that's where we are at the moment. Then you say there's another the water treatment at Kennedy Road, which they are working on it, and that one day it just has to be the electrical side have to be connected, and that's where the cabling and all is taking place at the moment. So that will come into effect as well. So it'll take the pressure away, and that raw sewer that was going from the now the Springfield water treatment works is right next to the Amgeni River. Now that is that overflow from the treatment plant went into the river, then from the river into the sea, and that's where you found all your beaches and all way we couldn't use in for swimming and all that. That was the reason, and now it is in motion. So things are starting to look up, and hopefully in the next 2.5 years or so, they will be able to get it fully up and running. Yes, the problem I identified last week as well, because of non-maintenance in the pond that is running along Amgeni Road, right through from the Sufi Masjid, from River, what's it, Kenville, along the side in the old main road. If that pond was clean, the wastewater should have flowed into there and into the river. We shouldn't have to pay 500 million to fix this water treatment. So that's where we are.
Now, these water treatment plants, I'm sure, you know, they are forecasting for what time period would they serve the purpose before, you know, either requiring to be rebuilt or renovated, and you know, the periods, service periods, etc. I'm sure all that is worked out. Now, for what time period does each of these water treatment plants are designed?
Maulana, all these water treatment plant, when I spoke to the engineer, he says anything from 30 years right up to 100 years, providing, he made it very, very clear to me, providing it's been serviced, because, you know, they're using massive, massive motors and pumps and everything to clear. At the same time, you must understand there's a lot of people that dump things in there. He showed me, there's a special shift they call. There's two guys are picking up shoes, blankets, jackets, and you name it, things coming up. paper bags and all that they have to ship out. And then it goes into other pools where it gets purified, it gets cleaned up and everything, and then where the bacteria eats the muck up, and then it flows into the river and into the sea, and that's how it works, the system actually works. So there's a system in place there, that how the actual system works, and we made sure that whatever parts are being used for the pump, everything must be local South African, made in South Africa, so that we can run up and get it. And they have got new warehouses where, because it was flooded, they re-renovated that. So spares will be in there. They got full-time engineers they have employed, and this contractor will get a service contract after the three-year period to make sure the services work properly, so we don't have another replica of what happened and it's costing us 500 billion. Now, by doing the water treatment plant, getting it fixed up, at the same token, we need to also make sure that we clean up the pond, because the water that comes, the rain water must flow into the pond, right into the river. It mustn't come into our systems or anything like that. So that is a massive, they're working parallel together to sort both of them, so we don't come to this. You know, it was an act of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that rain came. It was a devastating rain that cleared us, brought us to ground zero. But you know, Allah knows best. We're getting a complete new system put for the next couple of years, Allah knows. So, you know, so it will be much easier, better, because there's a new technology, new machines that they are putting. It'll make it much easier as well. And we put a backup with generators as well. In case if there's no electricity, the generators automatically kicks in, and the purification, the water treatment plant works 24/7 a day.
Now, the current status of beaches, are there still beaches that are shut down?
Now, what happened in the beaches? You see from that old excess that you will be picking up from the water treatment plant that must be there. So that is only now where they do a check on a day-to-day, twice-a-day check. And they pick up anything on the seashores or anything like that, they will close that beach. And this is one of the criteria that the Itigwini municipality takes, so that people are safe and all that. So, hopefully, inshallah, I'm saying by December, most of that issue will be history, because they have got it under control, and that is very important at the moment, because we're missing out on the tourist that tourist industry is a massive industry for us, especially in the festive season. You know, people are not coming here and they're going away to the other beaches in the country, and that's where the problem is. And this water issue is not only a water issue we're making it a KZN issue. In fact, if you take Joburg and Cape Town, it's even worse. So we, alhamdulillah, we under control, but we're going to lose that 8.5% of our water, because we have to now. Now, this whole thing, Morana, we must understand that, you know, people will say, you know what, why they want to ration us water? Why they want to reduce the water? Why they want to reduce the pressure of the water? Now they have realized, say if you get a drought in the next year, or we don't get enough water, enough rain, and this is, so we got that 8.5%, that is, we got a backup facility. So that is it. You won't come to a stage where you won't have no water at all. So that is one of the reasons they have now put this into motion, to say that, you know what, firstly, we were using too much. Now we need to bring it under control. At the same time, we will have reserve for any act of God or anything, so that if we get a problem, we got enough water to run the city. That's the whole idea.
During the week, something else appeared, you know, in this municipality's website. The Itikreni municipality is rolling out a large-scale spatial transformation project in partnership with the private sector. The investment value for these projects are usually more than 500 million, and they contribute to substantially to job creation and economic growth in the region. Itikweni is poised for massive economic growth from several catalytic projects that are underway and progressing well. They are earmarked to boost the municipality's rates base, transform the local spatial footprint, and create many employment and business opportunities. Do you have any information about this?
When it comes to the issues like this Catholic project that we bring, now this is mainly bringing all the government departments together to expedite, like from your plans department to your race department, every department, you know, your water, sanitation, every single department is in there. So when you do an application, you want to put up 40,000 square meters of warehousing, and then Ford wants to put it by the Kinshasa airport in that area. So that will bring, we're going to create jobs. At the same time, we're giving them facility where it will be fast-tracked in everything, and that's what we are seeing. Now, internationally is known, and you know, especially at the moment when the chips are down, when your value in a country is down. You know, at the moment, if anybody telling me he wants to sell his house, I will tell him, no, hold on, you don't sell your house now. Try and see best to hold on to it, because, you know, although he might have a bond or anything, I said, you know what, do whatever it is, just hold on to it, because at the moment, if you want to sell, you're not going to get your price. But if you go down 2-3 years down the line, if you can hold on to then, your price, well, you definitely want to get more value for it, because there's an upswing. When the chips are down in any country, Molanga, then you get a lot of investment coming into the country, because now they're buying it cheap, and they look at the bigger picture. So the property developers, the people that normally deal in properties and all the investors, this is an opportunity. People invest in a country where they can see things are starting to look up. Now they invest, because down the line they'll make their money, and they'll get much better profits out of this whole thing.
Jazakumullah for your time this morning. We have come to the end of our time, and you know, may Allah Azza wa Jalla bless you for whatever contribution you are making and the guidance that you are giving as a counselor to our community. And inshallah, we will speak again next Saturday morning. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.